Welcome to the fourth episode of the Nottingham Podcast. In this episode, we're going to focus on Inside ETFs, one of the largest ETF conferences in the world. Inside ETFs once again took place down in sunny Hollywood, Florida, and drew in experts from across the country. Kip, thanks for your time today. What were some of the key takeaways for you from Inside ETFs?
One of the key themes that I heard most often, possibly because we are considered a white label issuer at Nottingham, is the lack of trust and concern, and you might even call it fear, from advisors, potential sub-advisors to ETFs dealing with white label issuers, that their fund might be taken away from them. That was came up all 3 days of the conference. There were a couple of panels where that was raised, and I'm not a social media, but my understanding from a couple of those sessions was that the Twitter feeds were going pretty active about some of the incidents that have been in the trade news over the last year or so. And that was definitely a cocktail party conversation, and I'm afraid has cast a little bit of a pall over the white label issuer approach to the industry, which I hope can be mitigated with history and past activity and just a little bit of education as well.
So Nottingham is a white label issuer, of course. What do you do to ensure your partners that this does not happen?
I had a couple of good conversations with some of the trade press down there, and that was one of the questions that was asked. And the best answer I could give was history. In the open-end mutual fund industry, which we've participated in since 1989, a very similar business model evolved in the early 90s, and we were part of that. There were five or six what would be called white label issuers in the open-end mutual fund, and each of us had series trust where our business model was to invite sub-advisors to start their own fund and become part of the series trust. In the 29 years since that business model was really put in place by each of the four or five firms that did that, we didn't have a single situation where there was ever even a whiff of the white label issuer replacing an advisor and taking those advisory fees for their own business model. I think each of us felt like that was such a way to kill the potential business down the road, and just not an ethical approach to how to do things. So it didn't happen. The ETF industry is a little bit more in its infancy, and what I hope will happen with the ETF industry is maybe a migration to more established players who can point to a very, very long history of everybody doing their own thing and not trying to tread on each other's territory, not trying to take each other's revenue. How to ensure it? The Investment Company Act does not allow you to upfront guarantee that a board of trustees will not replace an advisor or sub-advisor. It just can't be done. It's just not good governance, and the SEC wouldn't allow it. But what you can do is have firms that have a long experience of not attempting to pirate one another's business model. What we've done with the series trust that we built and the exemptive order that we applied for and received is that our advisor that has the exemptive order specifically did not apply to actively manage any of the portfolios, make any security selection. So we don't, even if the sub-advisor was terminated, we could not take that over and capture that revenue stream. The fund would need to hire another sub-advisor, which presumably would be at the same economic basis, similar investment sub-advisory fee. So there's no economic incentive for us to attempt that, not that we would from an ethical standpoint anyway. It can be done, but it can't be done with upfront guarantees of what a board of trustees will do. It just can be done on how each firm sets out what their role is going to be and what they intend to do.
Certainly, and track record and reputation are certainly key drivers of establishing that trust there. So let's shift gears into some of the key themes driven home through the conference, smart beta being one of them. Do you think we'll see more smart beta products in 2018?
I do think so, because the indices have become so prevalent and seem to be about as mature as you can get. I'm not sure how many more indices could be offered. But if you have the mentality, and I think most investors do, that they want to have exposure to different sectors of the market and want to use funds as a way to do that. If you make those decisions, you say, for instance, I want to have exposure to the emerging markets or small cap or mid cap or whatever it might be. You have funds that are securities and companies that make up that index, but certainly not all of those companies have the same performance record or same performance prospects for the valuation of those securities. So putting the human brain to work and reviewing those analytics and reports and projections and so forth and making some qualitative decisions makes a ton of sense. And I think it's the next logical evolution of an index-oriented industry, which is what the ETFs are.
Now, what about active? The quintessential active versus passive debate once again made its way down to Hollywood, Florida. Will 2018 finally be the year for active?
I think it will. It's not going to be I don't think it's going to be a Bitcoin sort of surge during the year. I think the interest and the willingness for a sub-advisor to say, yes, I'm ready to start an active ETF, will accelerate and that curve will start increasing. Because that's I consider smart beta kind of active as well, but a truly active portfolio that might not be based upon an index would be the next evolution after that or simultaneous with it. I can envision the investment world being much more oriented towards ETFs than open-end mutual funds over the next 10 years. Open-end traditional mutual funds have $17 trillion in them. So if you look at the statistics, there's kind of an outflow from open-end funds and inflow to ETFs. And if that continues over time, open-end mutual funds are not going to go to zero. They have a place and they work really well in a lot of situations. But as that market evolution continues, moving towards active ETF structure rather than open-end 40 Act structure, I think will continue to accelerate. The market sentiment seems to indicate 18 might be an acceleration of that.
Now, you had mentioned Bitcoin. Between Bitcoin, blockchain, robotics, and now even cannabis, the topic of thematic ETFs was especially popular this year at Insight ETFs. Do you think there's room for everyone on the main stage?
There's some great ideas out there, and it's based upon what the investing public wants to see. And when the investing public sees the rise of Bitcoin in value over the course of 2017, the natural question is, how can I participate in that? And a fund is a great way to do it. Themes that capture the public's interest, I think, will continue to also prompt people to say, how can I set up an ETF that might be able to capture that interest?
There are certainly many innovative themes and ideas, but what are some of the key ingredients for staying power in the world of ETFs, and how do white labels play a role?
There's no substitute for communication and getting the word out and having a good marketing plan, good public relations assistance and getting the word out. Distribution is the short word for all that. And just having wealth managers or constituents who believe in what you're doing and exposing them to the idea of your ETF. A white label issuer has an important role in, if you have an idea that you want to get to market and you'd rather do it this year than 2 years from now, if you want to do it on your own, it'll take several years to do it. Market sentiment changes. It doesn't typically stay the same over a 3 or 4 year period, which is what it could take to do your own ETF from scratch. So partnering with a white label issuer who can get a good idea to market in less than half a year and at less than one-fourth of the cost of doing it on your own, I think can be very important and makes much more sense from a business model.
As the saying goes, timing is everything. And with that being said, Kip, thank you so much for your time today. Of course, if you'd like to learn more about Nottingham, please visit us at www.nottinghamco.com.